Hi, everybody, and welcome one more time to El Camino People, the podcast. A lot of people go to the Camino searching. A lot of people go to the Camino looking for answers. And a lot of people go to the Camino without knowing what to expect. Sometimes the most unexpected things can happen in the Camino. And today for that, we have our friends, Dennis and Gert. How are you doing? Thank you for being today with us.
Thanks for having us. Hi, we're very well. Thank you.
So as I was saying, you know, there's some story, strange story, but it's seemed, you know, like I've been doing all these interviews, like there's much more love, let's say, in the Camino that we thought, and so many couples that are the Camino. So I think the Camino, you know, as we say in Spain, we have this famous person that was called the Celestina, the person that will be in charge of putting, you know, two persons together. In the old days, that you will go in a village or you will go in a city, and the Celestina will be taking care of letting them to introduce themselves and talking to the family. So I think the Camino, we can call it the Celestina of today, because you both, Dennis and Gert, you met in the Camino.
Yes, I knew the Camino before. I was on the frontiers 3 times, and in 2015 I decided to come back, feel the Camino feeling, and walk the Camino del Norte. And one day I met this crazy Belgian guy who started his Camino in front of his own house in Belgium.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. It was a nice talk, and then it was a surprise to meet such somebody on the Camino.
So you both are experienced pilgrims with many kilometers and many Caminos in your back.
Yeah.
I have like 1,500, and you 1,000 more just in one Camino.
Just in one. It's funny because, you know, a lot of long distance pilgrims, they come from Belgium and Germany. I don't know why it's in Belgium and Germany with doing the walk from your home. I'm like, why? Do they give you a price, or so do it's tax deductible or something? Or
no. Yeah, but in Belgium, when you work, it's possible to take leave without pay, and mm-hmm. then be sure you get your job back when you come back. So maybe that's one of the reasons.
In Spain, we have that, and you don't see many Spaniards doing it. Maybe it's because something that we have here and we take for granted. But I guess that sometimes, you know, people from out of Spain value the Camino more than we Spaniards do. But as you know, always we started with a 1 minute questionnaire. In your case, because you're two, I'm going to give you 2 minutes. So let's change here the timer. And remember, whatever comes to your mind, everything is Camino related. The whole idea is an icebreaker to get into the mood. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You can choose whatever wants to answer first. You choose. Okay. So first one, your first Camino.
2010.
2015.
How many Caminos?
Three.
One.
Four, sorry.
If you have to choose one Camino, which one?
Del Norte.
Frances.
One city.
Ponce Badon.
Yes.
Next.
One meal.
Vino tinto.
Pulpo Abadon bear.
A memory.
Oh no, we didn't understand it.
A memory?
A memory. Something. Finding love.
Bad dogs.
I hope that they are not related. Your favorite stage?
Favorite stage?
Yeah, on the Camino, on all stages. Which one was your favorite one, or the one that you have in memory?
Walking to Ponce Badon.
The highest point of the Primitivo.
A happy moment.
When I came back to Santiago to meet him after 2 weeks being home.
Yeah, meeting Denise and Monte de Guso.
Sad moment.
Leaving him.
Yeah, seeing her walk away, saying goodbye.
One color.
Blue.
Yellow.
I smell.
Oh, you're frozen again.
I'm good. Yeah. I hear you. Can you hear me?
Frozen. Now again.
Yeah. I can hear you perfectly. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Let's go with a drink.
Vino tinto.
Cerveza.
Okay, coffee, solo or con leche?
Solo.
Solo.
And the most important one, the Spanish omelette, the tortilla de patatas, with onions or without onions?
Without.
With.
Wow. So, and now the final one, already out of time. If you can choose anyone in the history of the world to walk the Camino with, who will you choose and why?
Wow. That's a difficult one.
That's fast. Like, really, you have to choose right now. They give you 1 minute. You're in the middle of the Camino. You can walk one. The day that stage, you can walk with anyone you want from the whole history of the humankind.
Oh, that's really difficult. Diane Keaton. So, my favorite actress.
Quite interesting. And why?
She's just very interesting, and I would love to have lots of vino tinto and nice conversations with her on the walk.
Then I would go for Albert Einstein, because I'm chemist, so scientifically interested.
Okay, and my question, you know, one of the questions that comes to my mind when all guys from all over the world and Europe come to Spain to walk the Camino, I'm like, how and when did you find out about the Camino de Santiago?
When I was in university, I helped to do an exhibition about a medieval pilgrim who walked to Jerusalem, Rome, and Santiago de Compostela, and this was the first time I got in contact with the Camino, but never thought of doing it. Mm-hmm. And then 2009, I met somebody who told me he always wanted to do the Camino by horse, and asked me to do it with him, or just talked about it, and I said, oh, okay, there's something I heard about this before, and it's a nice idea, but I can't do it by horse because that's not me, but let's go walking the Camino. And there was the plan. We started together. We split in Logroño, and from there on I walked by my own. So this was okay.
So you were right away when you discovered the Camino till you walk was on the same year, or was kind of like really close in time?
Yeah, so same like this year, planning for 3 months and then...
And what about you, Gert?
The friended couple did the Camino when I was a teenager, and they did it in a year. Did they walked a week? Then the next year they walked another week, starting where they left the year before. But that's my first contact with the Camino. But there, I didn't think about it. It was until 2014 or 2013 that I thought, well, in 2015, I will be halfway my life. What will I do with the rest of my life? And then I started Googling and found what can I do? And then first was I want to do the GR5
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Across the Alps to the Mediterranean Sea. But I wasn't that good in walking alone in the mountains. So I thought, then I need an alternative. And then the Camino came up. And I started then in Belgium because, I went to the Belgian fraternity, and there were people who did that. So I said to them, okay, that's a good idea.
And what did your family and friends? I'm like, suddenly you are having a normal job. You're having normal. I'm like, I guess you are not really a hiker. And suddenly you decide to walk what was about 3 months from your home all the way to Santiago out of the blue.
Yeah, I did most. I went before I did the Camino. I had 2 holidays a year, and then I went with a group hiking in the mountains. I went to in Nepal. I did trekking there. I did trekking in Kenya and so I had a little bit experience in walking or trekking, but they all said, "Are you crazy for 3 months walking? It's why you want to do it?"
And that was my question. Why that moment of your life? Why 3 months of walking? You know, most of the people, when they say the Camino, I'm like, even just taking 1 month of your life is too hard nowadays. But, you know, for average European, we have 1 month holidays a year, but an American will have 15 days, and some people, they have less. But taking 3 months of your life to walk the Camino from your home door, why?
I needed time to think what to do with the second part of my life. And then, when it's possible, I had even six months
sabbatical.
So I used 3.5 months for walking the Camino, and then I had a really relaxing coming back to normal life.
With both of you, when your first Camino, you went right away, you walked the Camino by yourself. How was your first experience in the Camino?
You're away again.
I can hear you perfectly. I don't know, it's on your end, so you can continue talking if you want.
We did not get that question. How was...
Oh, okay, sorry. So my question is, in your first Camino, how was your experience?
I started with this guy who brought me to the Camino. The first 5 days were not so nice because everybody was turning away from us because he was not so nice to everybody. But when we split, my real Camino started, and people were coming to me asking for my name, were happy that he left. And this was the time when I found my Camino family, and who I met every evening. And this was just great. I had moments to walk by myself, to get in kind of a trance where I didn't know where I was for the last 3 kilometers, but just thinking and being able to think thoughts until to the end. That's something I can't do in my normal life, because you get so much distraction and everything. And I had really problems to come back. I always said there are so many books who tell you where to sleep, where to go, but there's not a single book that helps you coming back. My boss said he thought I wanted to quit my job, because I was really, I could not live my normal life again. It was a real big problem for me.
And that happens to a lot of people, though. They call it the Camino blues, no? Talk about how great the Camino is and how easy is to live the life on the Camino, but it's not real life. I'm like, the Camino is a beautiful place that happens, you know, if you're lucky, once a month, once a year. But, and how was your first Camino? You know, one of the things that I always kind of like drives my attention is the arriving to Santiago. How was your first arrival to Santiago?
I hope you hear me now. My first arriving was, I think I'm one of the few people who hated arriving in Santiago, who really hated it. I walked nearly 800 kilometers without a blister, without any pain, and from Monte de Gozo on, I could not walk anymore. The 5 kilometers took me like 3 hours walking into Santiago. Oh. In Santiago was the first time I lost my way. I did not find the arrows again. And in 2010, it was the holy year, and I arrived a day before the Pope arrived. So lots of police and everything. And I arrived the moment a marathon started in the city. So it was a complete difference to my Camino for the past month. And I had to leave my Camino family behind. And the only good thing in Santiago for me was that I knew I could leave the city the next morning to go back to my Camino family, to Tria Castella, to walk another 5 days with them and to end my Camino on the way.
So you finished, went back worse in the Camino and walk again.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. I think you're the first one that, you know, a lot of people, they go to Muxía, they go to Santiago, they connect with another Camino, but never hear of anyone backtracking into the Camino to get back into Santiago again. And how was the second arrival? I'm like, this seems like the arrival of Jesus Christ, but I'm like, the second arrival of Denise into Santiago.
I just walked 3 or 5 days with them, and I left in Palas del Rey to go back to my plane, back to Germany. The second time I arrived in Santiago was with him in 2015.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. And how was living the Camino, you know, in the middle? After finish your Camino, you go back, you walk for a couple of days, and suddenly you have to go home.
I finished with my Camino family, so that was the thing. And I had to leave them before, because I just had 4 weeks of vacation, so I wasn't able to walk the whole Camino. I took the bus between Burgos and Astorga, and this is where I had to leave them. And so I was 1.5 weeks before them. And I did not have the whole Camino for my first time, but kind of most of the parts. And for me, the good thing was to be back with them and not to be alone in Santiago, where lots of police, lots of marathon runners, and the Pope. I'm Protestant. The Pope isn't important for me. So.
What about you? Is Gert or Geert?
Gert.
Okay, because I have a friend that cannot say his middle name. I'm always saying it wrong. So how was your first Camino for you? Which Camino did you walk?
When I started in Belgium, I started on my own. The first 2 or 3 days, I didn't see anybody, not a pilgrim. But then I met, after 1 week, I met 2 or 3 pilgrims that I saw regularly the next 2 weeks. Two of them went back, went halfway in France, they went back home because they didn't have much more time. And after then, there were always a few pilgrims you saw regularly every 2 to 3 days. But no, only in Spain it was meeting everybody every day again. It was a completely other Camino feeling.
And how is the Camino in Belgium? Like, you walk Belgium, I guess, then you get into France. How was the different, you know, Caminos? Because a lot of people say the Camino in France is really different, you know, less crowded, less albergue style. And how is the Camino in Belgium?
It's the same as in France. You have to make reservations 2 days ahead, because then you're sure you have a bed, and otherwise it can be that you be there and it isn't the place where you can sleep isn't open, or there's something else. But they aren't always albergues. There are private people who have a spare room, or you sleep in a dressing room from a football club. I even slept in a backstage of a theater.
Okay.
So it's in an old mill. You slept in all different places. It's crazy.
And how did you choose your Camino? Because in France, there is many Caminos, and I guess you can do different connections from Belgium. How did you choose the Camino was going to lead you into Spain?
I try to have a straight line from Belgium down to Saint-Jean. And yeah, that's the Camino that I took.
So which Camino was it? It was from Le Puy, or which connection did you do?
This is Vézelay.
The Vézelay, oui.
Vézelay. Where did it pass? Vézelay, Châteauroux, Jarnac.
But that's one of the things that a lot of people don't know, but in France, there is, like in Spain, many, many Caminos, many different connections. You can plus them, jump from one to the other.
Limo, called.
And how was it, with long distance pilgrims, usually a big day is the day they arrive into Saint-Jean. You know, this is like the little Santiago in the middle. How was your arrival into Saint-Jean?
It was crazy, because then suddenly, the last week you have more and more pilgrims, and then you come there and it's a little town, a little street completely full with pilgrims. It was surprising. I didn't expect that to be so crowded there.
And how is the manage, from going mostly, I guess, from walking from Belgium to Saint-Jean, you will be mostly walking by yourself. And suddenly here you are in France, walking into Spain, surrounded by hundreds of people.
It was crazy.
Crazy in the good side or crazy in the bad side?
The good side, because I didn't know anybody in the last parts of, so it's all different people. Yeah, the connection wasn't really there, and that's normally when you start your pilgrimage in Saint-Jean. I think it's the same feeling, only that I've already walked 2 months.
Yeah, close to 2.5 months. Yeah. And how was your arrival into Santiago?
Well, it was a beautiful arrival because I arrived there with Denise.
And so by your first arrival, you were already with Denise and the whole thing just happened already. Okay. So how, and now that suddenly you're both Camino, so Denise, this was your second, your third Camino?
I was 3 times on the front thes. Described as this, and then the Donate.
Okay. So how did it happen? Suddenly you start walking from Belgium, you start getting into the Camino Frances. Did you find a Camino family, or were you just, you know, wandering around with different groups of people?
When I arrived in Roncesvalles, the day afterwards, I took the GR11 to Irun to get to the Norte because I wanted to walk the Norte and not the Frances.
Okay.
And it started in Irun. That my real Camino family came after a few days. I learned, the second day already, I learned another Belgian I met there and another German. And then it became every day there were 2 or 3 people came to the group, I will say. And then after.
Yeah. How did you decide to join Zhenjiang with Irun with the year 11? And like, for the ones that don't know, the year 11 is the path that crosses the whole Pyrenees. And like, if you're walking the Camino, there is another Camino that will finish into Irun that you can connect into the north instead of finishing in Zhenjiang, that will make more sense to connect with the French. So how you decided that? Because it's not common.
I wanted to go to Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, and then I want to do the Norte, and then you have to make the decision, do I go to Roncesvalles and take the GR11, or do I take the French way in the Pyrenees? And I just chose the GR11.
Wow. I'm like, you can really join, you know, there's another ways to get to the Norte. You can do the Salvador, you can do the Pasco Interior. There's other caminos that can do, but, you know, some people, I see them going to a bus to Pamplona and then going to Irun, but you decided to walk from Roncesvalles to Irun.
Yeah, it was an idea that I had, and I said, I'll walk that way.
Destiny.
And I thought I thought I would walk the GR11 alone, but in Roncesvalles there was somebody who heard me saying, I'll take the GR11 to Irun. And she said then, I want to go to Irun also, can I come with you? So we walked 3 days, normally you walk 4 days, I think. She walked 3 days with me and then took the bus to Irun, and I walked the last day alone again, so.
So do you have a sleeping bag and a tent, or were you
sleeping in? The first night I had the tent with me the whole trip in France, just because I needed one time in Belgium and one time off the GR11, I needed the tent.
So you're like me. I carry a gas stove in my first Camino, and I only use it in Finisterre, but I was going to carry the whole thing just in case.
Yeah, when I was arrived in Irun, I took a rest day there, and I sent the tent home and all my guidebooks from France. I sent them all home. So
you took a rest day in Irun, probably one of the most. I'm like, sorry if someone from Irun is listening, but so one of the ugliest Camino cities in the world. I'm like, sorry, there's nothing to do in Irun. It's just an industrial town. I'm like, but you took a rest day in Irun.
Yeah, I took a rest day in Irun because I knew I want to send things home, and I want to do it in all peace and then quiet that I do it. I needed my time to think from what will I send back and where. And I also read that sending things home from Spain to Belgium was a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
So I took the train to France again, from Irun to Biarritz. And then this from Biarritz back to Belgium. That was easier.
It was easier, really. Wow, I didn't know that. I knew that it was for some people to send things from France to Santiago, if they want to leave them there, it's harder. So it's easier to send them from Spain than from France. but didn't know that, you know, from, I mean, it makes sense, it's one country less to cross or probably deeper. And what was going on with your life, Denise? How you decided to walk your next Camino? What was going on at the time?
I had a relationship breakup and needed a vacation or anything to focus myself and think, what will I do next? And funny thing, I wanted to do the same thing across the Alps, but after a few hours of doing some searching for some information, I decided I don't have that much alpine expertise. So I said, okay, it's the Camino again, but this time a different one. And this is how I started my Camino in Eon. And thanks to Ryanair, I started the day after his rest day. And this is just why we met the first time on my first walking day, but we did not talk with each other that moment, but it's a picture I have in my head until today, how he took his rain gear on in the middle of a rainstorm in the middle of the woods. And this was the first time I saw him.
So what were your thoughts? I'm like, when you suddenly, you know, you see someone like, you know, a local for you, someone from your own country that speaks your own language, and you're like suddenly in the Camino del Norte. What were your thoughts, Denise, about him?
This time we did not talk. We did not talk for like five more days. Yeah. Which is he always says he remembers me having my phone on my walking stick as a large selfie stick to take photos, and I met another German woman and walked with her for 2 days. And when we arrived in Guernica, in front of the Alberga after a very muddy and rainy day, I heard a few male voices screaming the name of the German friend. And this was Gerd with another pilgrim from Austria. And they walked together. And this was the first time, the first evening, we really talked with each other. At that moment, just as you have your Camino family and meet nice people. We had spaghetti aglio olio with 20 people and cooked for all of them. His job was to carry 6 bottles of wine from the supermarket back to the albergue, so everybody had a nice meal.
So that's when you fell in love from him, when you see him with the 6 bottles of wine?
No, but we walked together with the other German friend for another week until I had to go back to Germany. And we were known as the Fabulous Three at this moment, and had a few other people from Finland and Ireland in our Camino family, but we were the three really walking together each day. And one day I wrote him a WhatsApp message that I really liked him, and but I was afraid to tell him because he was kind of shy and not talking so much, and I was too shy to tell him, so writing was much more easy. And after this message, I didn't get any answer for 2 days.
Wow.
And just got the answer after I had to leave to go back to Germany. 2 hours after we said goodbye, I got the answer that he felt the same.
So you walk every day together till when? When was the day that you have to leave?
In Llanes. And we had our last day, and I had to take the bus back to Santander to get my flight back to Germany. And
you sent him the message 2 days prior, but you're still walking without getting any answer, just talking, walking like normal.
Correct.
Without mentioning anything, without saying anything, and you were being kind to him and kind of like, why is this asshole not telling me anything?
I always talk to the German friend. What's up? Why doesn't he talk anymore? What's going up? I did something wrong. And it's like a teenager love story. Yeah, you don't know how to manage male non-conversation. Yeah.
And I didn't know how to react to it, so
because he knew I had to leave in 2 days, so okay. It was a difficult situation.
Yeah.
So what was with the third wheel? What happened with the German guy? Was he in the middle? What did he knew what was going on, or
She knew what was going on and encouraged me to write him, and it was funny for her. Yeah. And then I had to go back to Germany, and after 2 weeks, I came back to Monte de Gozo to do the walk to the end of the world, finally, with him together. And yeah.
So how was the in your you know, from the side of the of your side of the story, Gerd, suddenly you met this person that you're having a lot of fun, suddenly she tells you that she kind of likes you a little farther than Camino family, and then she left. What were your thoughts when you start walking kind of like alone again?
Then there were the thoughts from why didn't I react earlier? Directly out of the message, but yeah, that's who I was at that moment. I was quiet, I was turned inside myself.
Mm-hmm. Many walls
around me. Not to get hurt in any way, and yeah, it's then difficult to get to say your feelings, to bring your feelings out.
Mm-hmm. And what happened after 2 days? Why suddenly you decided to answer the message?
Because then she was away, and then the direct, yeah, then it was a little bit more pressure to tell your feeling, because otherwise she would be gone.
Do you know that she was coming, or you have no idea, or was all left in the air?
No, the plan was there that she would come back and be in Santiago when we would arrive. But she came one day earlier. She came two months ago.
And how was the relationship from the moment that you then read the message, and what did he answer? What did he say?
That he feels the same, and that he likes to get to know more about me, and he likes me to tear down these walls, kind of this. Aww. And in the 2 weeks we were separated, nobody said it, but it was clear that we were a couple now, and it's getting more serious.
Did you talk just on WhatsApp? Did you have phone call, video FaceTime. Call, or did you just...
Yeah, FaceTime.
Every evening.
So what were the people around you, you know, the Camino family and the other groups, do they know what was going on with you two, or...?
The friend knew, and all the others got to know it when I was planning my... meeting again in Monte de Gozo, mm-hmm. because the plan was that I wait for them on the Praza de Obradoiro, but as I did not have so nice memories of Santiago, decided not to be alone for one night in Santiago, but to go back with the bus to Monte de Gozo and to surprise them when they there were sitting in front of their pilgrims menu. But Iberia had other plans with me, so I arrived in Santiago without my backpack, without my visa card and my
without money and without any
identification card and anything. I was completely I was a wreck when I called them from the airport and had to tell them that I wanted to do a surprise. The surprise is now not possible anymore, and that I don't know how to go away and I don't know what to do, and I was just crying. And at the end, I got my backpack back the day when we arrived in Santiago. I got my ID and my ID back when we were flying back. I got it in Madrid back from the Guardia. And but this was just my moment that I needed the help of these two. And it was a learning moment also, because in 2010 I was one of these who makes fun or looks with a smile to all this day pilgrims who walk with just small backpacks into Santiago Ferreira. And now I had to walk from Monte de Gozo to Santiago with just my small bag, and I was kind of one of them. So it was my learning moment.
And how was the meeting together in Monte de Gozo? How was the time that you see each other over there?
After this problems I had before, I came with a taxi to Monte de Gozo. I had in mind where to meet them, but in these 5 years, Monte de Gozo had changed much, because 2020 was
Fully
year. It was completely different, and I tried to call them in Monte de Gozo. There was no
reception.
But finally, he found me. There was the first kiss, and all was well.
And how was for you, Gerd, the night before? I'm like, you are walking in the Camino, but you know, you have that breakup moment when she left. You know, she's coming back, but at the end, you never know if she was coming really back or not. So, how was the days prior to the Monte de Gozo?
Well, you look forward to meeting her again, but honestly, I didn't try not to think about it, because that would make me so nervous, and that you can't use on when you're walking. I was looking forward to it, to seeing her or taking her in my arms really first time.
Finally, you know, the last stage is suddenly, you know, you go into the Camino by yourself, in your case, you know, walking from Belgium, looking for yourself, and suddenly here you are in Monte de Gozo, watching cathedral. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I was saying, you know, that suddenly you walk from Belgium. For you, Denise, it was your more Caminos already walk, and suddenly there you go, both together as a couple walking into Santiago. How did it feel?
Very nice.
It was, and after my first time going into Santiago with lots of pain and don't want to arrive, now I was happy to arrive.
How was the arrival in the Obradoiro when you get, you know, going through the arch, you know, sometimes the music, and suddenly you arrive into the plaza?
First feeling, finally there, seeing what it's...
How long did it take you, Gerd? 3 months and a half?
And I walked in totally 110 days, but that's also, I think 105, because...
Less than 100.
It's about 100 days I took from Belgium to Santiago, because afterwards we walked to Finisterre and Muxia. Then we go back to Germany, and after 2 days rest in Germany, I walked from the Netherlands back to Belgium in 4 or 5 days.
To his hometown to arrive at his birthday.
Wow, so everything was kind of like line up the map. I don't know by who or when, but incredible.
Totally.
So a lot of people, you know, when people do, I always encourage them to walk to Muxia and to Finisterre. How was your walking into Muxia and Finisterre? You know, I bet that for you, that kind of like getting back together now, you were a couple already, you know, walk the Camino, in your case, Gerd, many kilometers, and you guessed Denise also many kilometers of different Caminos with that experience into Santiago. How was Finisterre and Muxia?
Well, walking alone with Denise to Finisterre and afterwards to Muxia, the arrival in Finisterre was completely can't express how it was, because it was a very beautiful moment to get finally at the kilometer zero, and then afterwards the day after walking to Muxia, arriving in Muxia was beautiful but not so good as in Finisterre. I didn't have the same happiness arriving in Muxia.
Why?
I don't know. I didn't have that. That's it's because I think because we already ended at that the end of the world, and then going to Muxia was still an extra day.
And for you, Denise?
When we started in Santiago to go to walk to Finisterre, the first day was hard for me because I had 2 weeks pause in Germany and he was trained. And so this first hill kind of broke me. But the walk was really, really nice. I'm kind of a spreadsheet pilgrim. I plan and book lots. I planned lots, but for this, for the way Santiago to Finisterre, I booked the accommodation everywhere. So we have nice rooms together and nice albergues. The way down to the city before Finisterre, is very rocky downhill. And I was so enthusiastic. I ran and jumped down. And this was a huge mistake because my knee was very, very bad after this. I limped into Finisterre, but arriving there was magical. We had he was very sad because we wanted to see the sunset at the lighthouse, and the whole day it was misty and cloudy and rainy. But I always say, wait, the Camino provides. It will, everything will be okay. And when we sat there, the clouds broke open and we had the most wonderful sunset on the cliffs there. And still today, I feel the energy of Finisterre. I said, if the energy at the lighthouse could spread all over the world, there wouldn't be any war. This is, and this energy I did not feel in Muxia. This is why Finisterre is much more.
And that's, you know, one of the things that for me, Muxia was kind of like the energy place, and a lot of people, they feel Finisterre. That's why I say, you know, it's up to anyone. Like a lot of people, they go to Santiago and they think amazing. In your case, the first time you feel horrible. You know, there's no one Camino for everyone. That's what I encourage everyone, you know, to just do your own. And then after all this amazing experience, I guess that's something that was going probably in both of your heads. What was going to happen after the end of the Camino?
Which end?
I'm like, with the end of your Camino, you both going home. I'm like...
The good thing is that I met somebody who walks just 1.5 hours driving with the car away from me. It could be much more worse. I have a friend who I met online. She's from Texas and she met somebody from Sweden. So this is...
Okay, so you were really that close to, like, your cities are just 1.5 hours. Wow. Yeah, that's, that's, I'm like, again, one more thing just to put on the spreadsheet of luckiness. Yeah.
That's the good thing. So we had a weekend relationship for a year. We got engaged in Rome in 1 year after.
Wow, why Rome? Thinking why another Rome? Camino?
We had a holiday then, and I thought it was the right moment.
Okay, I was talking about rings before.
So it was a semi-plan engagement, or
we knew it fits. So this will be forever.
Yeah.
So we got engaged a year after in Rome. We married 1 year after. Our first girl was born 1 year after, so 2017, and when I was pregnant, we said we want to do this with our girl again, to show her where mommy and daddy met and to show her the Camino feeling. Then I became pregnant again. Then there was COVID, and now we are in 2023.
And, you know, one of the things that probably a lot of people ask him, like, what did your family and friends told you when you said, you know, in your case, scared? I'm like, you came from a 3 months Camino, finding a Belgian girl that you fell in love with.
German, Belgium.
Oh, German. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, German. I'm like, again, you are different countries, different, but yeah. You arrive over there and like, oh, yeah, I have a girlfriend from Belgium.
Well, they already knew because I had a little blog running AFR, and then I mentioned that my girlfriend. So there were a few people who said, oh, what's going on there? And yeah.
And we were both told by friends and colleagues before we started that we will meet somebody special on the way.
Really?
Yeah. A good friend of me said, told me I will meet the man of my life there.
And my case was a colleague who said, wait and see, you'll come back with somebody.
That's so amazing.
We're both.
Mm-hmm. And when did the Camino call you again, you know, as a family?
End of the year, I guess, 22. I was in the night, I had a Camino dream, like often, but in the morning I said, we have to do it. And from that day on, I was planning what can we do, what will we do. We always wanted to do the Santiago Finisterre thing, but just for going 5 days, it's not enough. And so we thought, how many vacation days can we get? What's possible? Can we do 100 more? Can we do 100 more? And now it is 350 kilometers from Astorga to Finisterre. Hopefully this will be possible with two little girls and a big stroller and many reservations in advance, because with the little girls we don't want to go in the big sleeping rooms. We need the four bedrooms, right. And they the albergues don't have many of them, so we have to do the reservations.
Yeah, so a little planning for you.
A little planning, but it will be fantastic. The planning even is fun, and it will be fantastic. We talked with so many families who did this with little kids and watched YouTube videos and podcasts and blogs, and they will be superstars on the Camino, these girls.
What is the biggest, you know, when you start thinking of the Camino with two toddlers, and like as you were saying, one of your daughters will be 5, the other one will be 3. What are the biggest challenges when you start planning all of this?
Getting all the gear to our starting point. Actually,
so I'm like one of those strollers to get into the plane. That will be last.
Yeah, right. The big stroller, but the Ryanair says it will be okay because we can get one stroller per kid, and we now have one big stroller. Alza, we will go with Alza bus from Santiago to Astorga. They say it's not a problem to get that in the bus. Actually, this communication with the albergues isn't a problem. I know a few words of Spanish, and I can understand it in okay. And Google Translate is a big help today.
And what are your biggest thoughts with your kids? I'm like, I guess they have never been in something like this, on a 10-day, 13-day. What are your expectations of walking? What do you think is going to be the everyday problem? So
we don't expect them anything from them. Just when it goes uphill and downhill, they have to walk and can't be in the stroller. So walking down from Fonsabadon and walking up to Osebrero isn't possible for them being in the stroller. But I'm pretty sure that the 5-year-old will do 10 kilometers per day, the little girl maybe 5. And with lots of ice cream and chocolate and Napolitana, it will be. And they are learning dos colacao, por favor, at the moment.
Well done. we in Spain, we are grow with the candy and with chocolate and with pastries. That's what we used to, you know, that was the old days. And thank God the Camino still is kind of like that.
Dos colacao, por favor. The big girl, we always say dos colacao y dos cerveza.
Good. So you say you switched from vino tinto to cerveza?
Both. It's okay. Vino tinto in the evening and against the thirst, it's the cerveza.
So when you start looking, you know, for hotels and albergues, it's easy to do the Camino Francés with two kids? Yeah. Do you have enough accommodations that you can find a room for the 4 of you?
Yeah, completely. We have in Germany, we have two big guidebooks, the yellow and the red, every German will understand. And I'm team yellow since my first Camino, and it gives you very great information about the way, the albergues, or any alternative routes. Mm-hmm. And so this was 2010, no problem to find good things. But today, with Camino Ninja and Camino Ways and everything, there are great apps.
Yeah.
And that help you with this, and they tell you if there are any quadruple rooms, or if it's not possible, we take a pension or everything. Yeah. Or hotel. But there is not on the frontiers, the infrastructure was 2010 perfect and will be in 2023 even more perfect.
Yeah, there's more. I think you know, some albergues have closed, but there is still a lot of albergues that are going into small rooms. I think that's the new switch, you know, instead of having huge rooms, a lot of albergues are going into at least having a couple of 4 or 5 rooms for families and for groups of pilgrims. So I think that will be nice. And what about the food? Because I don't know if your girls are really picky or not, or they eat everything. Because a lot of people, you know, the change from their home food to the Spanish food can be a challenge.
We did not understand the whole question, sorry.
So I was saying, you know, the food change. Sometimes the food in the Camino can be difficult, or can be a change, or cooking with kids or going to restaurants. How do you plan to manage with the food?
I think for our kids, it won't be a big problem to eat Spanish food. But yeah,
fries, huevos, chorizo. Everything is great.
Yeah. No problem.
If there's fries and ketchup, they're happy.
I think I'm going to walk the Camino with you. You know, chocolate, colacao, fries. That's my kind of Camino. And pasta and beer. I will add the beer on top of the list. So, but also your Camino has a deeper meaning. You're walking the Camino for a bigger cause, to raise awareness for something else. Tell us a little bit of how and why are you walking your Camino.
When we were planning this Camino, a thought came to my mind that we can do a fundraising with this, because we will get some kind of publicity, like in podcasts, or we've been on television, German television, this year, and just to take this and take it into something good. And so we are doing a fundraising for a German organization which is known as Make-A-Wish in America.
Make-A-Wish,
or
yes, international Make-A-Wish, yeah.
And but it's called Strahlemännchen, but it's the same. They're taking the money for the same cause, so for terminal ill children to get their last wishes, or to get families for a weekend somewhere to think of something else. And and we say give 10 cents per kilometer we are walking, which is 35 euros, and everybody of us spends more money on 3 pizzas. So yes, it's not much money. We are happy if somebody gives 5 euro, we are happy if somebody gives 100 euro. 100% of this goes to Strahlemännchen, and and even our kids know that we are collecting money for other kids.
Okay, and for that, the people, they just have to go to your website, mycamino.de, and they can find all the information over there.
There's the link to Better Place, where we're doing this via Better Place. This is known worldwide.
Okay, and what are your thoughts about this arrival and the into Santiago and this arrival into Finisterre? Do you have any expectation, or are you just so excited about going back to Santiago?
I'm excited to be back on the way. And as I said before, mentioned before, Fuente Bayon is my city of the Camino. In 2010, it was really, really broken down. In pictures I see now, there are real streets. Mm. In 2010, it wasn't like this.
Yes.
And I can't wait to be back up there. This will be my most happy moment, I think, on the Camino, to be back there. And yeah, Santiago, we will be three times in Santiago. So this is at the beginning, in the middle, and then at the end again. Finisterra will be great because the kids will be on the way for 3 weeks then, and they will understand that this is the finish, the goal we're walking to. And if nothing happens, we will have 2 days there to spend at the beach and jumping into the ocean. And yeah, this will be great.
Sounds amazing. So when are you going to start walking? For everybody that is listening, you know, if they're walking the Camino, if they live, so they can, you know, follow you and know where you're going to be walking. When are you going to start walking?
First walking day will be May the 9th in Astorga.
So almost there. I'm like,
yeah. And I will be blogging on my website. There will be pictures and stories on Instagram. Yeah,
that will be amazing. We'll love to follow your journey, and we'll see what comes after this. I'm like, this is already your fourth Camino, your second Camino. But any plans after this, or nothing really? Just right now, thinking about what is going to happen next.
I'm pretty sure we will be back when they are older, but at the moment it's just thinking until then. Yeah.
First, and what are the older? I'm like, probably the oldest with 5 years already understands like what is going to happen. What does it say about walking and going to Spain?
She knows she gets lots of chocolate ice cream and colacao, and she likes walking. Yeah. It will be a big adventure to sleep every day in a different location. She knows there will be lots of nice people who will play Uno and some card games with her, and that she knows she will be a superstar.
At the end of the year, not many kids walking because May is still in Spain, you know, school is still a school time in the States also, so they're going to be probably one of the few kids in the Camino.
And now imagine these the only kids ones sitting in the stroller and yelling "Buen Camino" to everybody who walks by.
That would be
amazing. Anyway, thank you, Denise and Gerd. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And I would love to encourage everyone, you know, to go to Instagram Mi Camino DE and also all the website micamino.de. So, you know, to help you in your cause and also to follow your Camino. And if they, you know, they one day decided to go into Camino looking for love, or they want to go in the Camino with the kids, you know, they have you over there for help and whatever. And we will see each other one day in the Camino. You know, as always, everybody seems to escape Pamplona, but Pamplona is beautiful. But I'm just glad that you don't have to do Roncesvalles with the trolley.
Yeah.
Because going with the Zubiri with 2 kids in that trolley, I'm like, that will be a nightmare.
Yeah, I think so. Thank you so much for having us.
Anyway, thank you so much. Buen Camino, and keep us posted with your journey.
We will. Thank you. Buen Camino.
Thank you. Buen Camino.
Bye, Ultreya.